Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. And good morning and welcome back, Michelle.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Well,
we have an amazing guest today.
We do have an amazing guest today.
I'm joking. No more amazing than our other great guests, but
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. So we're gonna get to that pleasant surprise in a minute. First, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grant dollars to us that help us produce this show, and it helps us as Rhode Island Avenue Main Street help small businesses up and down the Main Street corridor. So thank you to DSLBD and DHCD for providing us with these grant dollars. Just everyone just needs to prepare themselves that from here through October 6th, I will be mentioning Fall Fest each time we talk. Mark those calendars now for Saturday, October 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for our 6th annual Fall Fest.
All right. All right. And we still have vendor spots, right?
Vendor spots are still available. Not a whole lot.
Right.
So get in there and get registered now. If you are a maker in the area or an artist or a nonprofit that wants to get your message out or pretty much any business that would like some representation at Fall Fest, it's a great neighborhood-based event. And when I say neighborhood-based, I mean it's based in a neighborhood, but we get participants from all over the D.C. metro area, and we'll have some great live music if you're a performer of any kind, and I think we've got one or two slots left for performances. For any of those categories, head over to our website, riamainstreet.org, and click on Events and Fall Fest, and you'll see the links to register as a vendor or a performer. Or a sponsor, if you would like to help us put on another fantastic event, we would love to have you join us as a sponsor for Rhode Island Avenue Main Street's Fall Fest. All right. I think that, Michelle, we talk just about every week on mm-hmm. this show about a lot of things going on in the community and a lot of activities that are geared towards building small businesses and getting neighbors together. And it's about time that we talk about what you do along with today's guest, Michelle Yancey and Andy Fleming. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you.
You guys
see,
managed...
I said there was be a good guest today.
Yes, you and Andy.
Yeah, me and Andy. So
you guys put on a great event every month to do just that, to support small businesses and to bring community together, the Ward 5 Community Happy Hour.
We do.
So how did this get started?
Well, it got started in 2011 by a neighbor that was from out of town, and she wanted to get to know her neighbors, so she figured the way to do that would be to start the Ward 5 Happy Hour. And
it was Jennifer Parker.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. And she did it for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and then it got to be overwhelming, which... After doing it myself now since 2013, I don't know how one person managed it. So about seven of us took over from her, and seven was way too many, but we managed to make it work. And then along the way, people moved or dropped out. And then Andy joined in graciously. She has been coming since 2011, so she can speak to 2011 and what happened back then. But she joined us and has been with us now for, I think, two or three years.
Yeah. And I claim to have been to more actual happy hours than any other single person. I've only missed a few.
Yeah.
So.
And one, and I think maybe two in the whole.
Since 2011, there was probably about four or five. Yeah. I was either out of the country or it was located at a place that didn't have a bar.
Right. There was like, an attempt at a yoga.
Yeah, yes. I didn't do that.
That was not during my time, yeah. By the way. Happy hour must include two things. Well, three things. Food, alcohol, and neighbors fun. And fun. Yeah, yeah friends.
Yeah, makes sense. So I know when Jennifer started this, she started it because she wanted to meet her neighbors.
Yes.
And you guys, do a phenomenal job of continuing that. How do you go about making a determination where you're going to host an event?
Well, and I would say when she started it, there were only about two or three bars.
Well, right. Hold on. Also, she started it. It was called the Brookland Happy Hour. So right. It was strictly true. In Brookland.
Strictly Brookland. But there was still like three right. places that, you know, all the restaurants and bars hadn't started opening yet.
Right.
So
right.
there was, you know, some of the old favorites like San Antonio and I think like the library was around maybe and...
And that was really it.
Maybe yeah. Optimism, and it might have been called something
Boundary,
else.
Yeah, Boundary Stone had just opened. Mm-hmm. They've been probably, we've had it there more than any other place because they've been around for most of the duration.
Right, right.
And that's in Bloomingdale, but that you all didn't start going right. there until...
When until was the it election?
until it opened up. Right. And more neighbors started hearing about it, and it turned into the Greater Brookland Happy Hour, mm-hmm. and then... it got bigger and bigger, and then I think Jennifer decided to call it the Ward 5 Happy Hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ward 5 is huge, as you know.
And still, in the beginning, didn't have a ton of restaurants.
Right. No.
Ivy City did not exist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Or and at least dining and happy hour options did not exist in Ivy City.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And even a lot of the 12th Street
Yeah, they weren't there.
They were just getting started. They were just starting to open a little at a time.
Right.
So you just, I know that you try to reach out to some of the newer venues as they're opening up to not only get introduced neighbors to that venue, but to, you know, to let the venue have a little shot at
absolutely
advertising. I think that's great.
Yeah. And I think that, a lot of these places, sometimes people might not go on their own.
Right.
They would not go unless there is an event there, unless they know that someone's going to be there. It may be a neighborhood that's new to them, a concept that's new, a different type of food. But if they know that we're going to be there, a lot of people will come and try out the restaurant.
Or even a place that from the outside doesn't really appear to be a bar.
like what's a good example of
like
that?
Jimmy's
Jimmy Valentine's.
Jimmy Valentine's. Right. Like they purposefully doesn't look like there's anything in there. And so you would, if you just drove up there, you wouldn't necessarily know that there was fun things going on inside. So
nice.
They opened up specifically for us for a fundraiser in conjunction with another group, but they normally don't open until a little bit later in the evening, but fun place.
Yeah, it's a fun, really place. Fun place. And the windows are blacked out. I mean, you yeah. just wouldn't know it was there. It's on Bladensburg. It looks a little scary.
Looks like a vacant vacant yeah. building.
Interesting.
Well, maybe it did. Who knows? Who yeah. knows what's happened now?
Yeah, exactly.
But a couple years ago, it definitely looked like a vacant building. So we don't want to inundate a new restaurant. We will certainly give them time and see when they're ready to host, to have us, you know, for an event. And our events are always the first Thursday of every month from 6 to 8. Typically places will designate a location for us to be and a couple of servers. And it's a good time. I mean, honestly, that's how I met both of you all.
Yeah.
At the Ward 5
Happy
Hour.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
So, you know, it definitely connects. And I talk to you all outside of the happy hours.
Well, and if you don't know, Michelle and I are BFFs.
Yes, so. We are BFFs, which we would not have met had it not been for the happy hours. Well, so it's a great way to connect neighbors.
And I got to say that Rhode Island Avenue Main Street in its current incarnation would not exist if it weren't for the happy hour, because one of the very first, if not the very first happy hour that Jennifer organized at San Antonio Bar and Grill, I went because Jennifer and I are both from Austin, so I was like, I got to go meet my fellow Texan out there who's doing this, and While I was there, I was introduced to Stephanie Leota and a couple of other folks that were just starting to think about forming this group called Friends of Rhode Island Avenue to bring some businesses to the corridor. And so that started that ball rolling. So, you know, all things lead back to the 4 to 5 happy hour, I guess.
Yeah.
So I know you've got a social media presence and you've got an email list. How has that grown? How many people are on your lists?
Oh, gosh.
I think there's, well, we it's had almost to 700. Split, I thought it was even more than that because I thought we had to split it when it hit 1,000 because we couldn't email blast out.
No, it's about 700, okay. But it was 500 when it hit 500.
Okay, that, then we had to like break it into two.
Oh, to keep, like, keep it on the free program?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we had to. And I don't know what we're going to do when we exceed that because.
Well, I think we can make more groups, can we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. People
we're just
going
to, I mean, at some point, the venues, I think, are going to be more limiting than.
Yes. It's a funny thing. As we have more places to go, it's gotten more difficult finding places to host us because our events have grown.
So how many people average show up for the events?
25 to 30 average. Yeah.
We usually tell venues 30 kind of on a rolling basis.
Yeah. But then we've had events where there are 80 people there.
Right,
or 100 people. And
I mean, I remember going to one at Boundary Stone where you could not get in the door after a while because there were so many people there for the happy hour.
Yeah, yeah. There have, and it's funny, sometimes when it's raining or snowing and we think it's not going to be a big turnout, there's so many people there. The one freezing January, I think we had our biggest happy hour. There were almost 90 people there.
Yeah, and it was everybody like, had stuck cabin
in the house.
Fever.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone was stuck in the house. And so, yeah.
Although we did have a couple where it actually was in the middle of a snowstorm and we only had a few turnout in January.
Yes, that's true. So, give or take. July is typically our slowest happy hour, I think, because it falls around July 4th.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even this year, it wasn't too bad. So
it's always good weather and stuff. So you still have a usually decent turnout.
So you just had one last night. We're recording this on Friday. You had one last night at City Winery. Where are you looking at for next month?
So next month is mine.
You swap out?
So we alternate to generally give each other a little bit of a break. Although this one was a little bit different because Michelle did two in a row because City Winery was booked another month that she wanted to do it. And so now I have the next two.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know that.
Well,
surprise.
I think, right, if we go back to, the regular schedule.
Surprise. Yay, I get 2 months off.
So I'm not sure because I haven't reached out to them yet, so I don't know if I want to put them out there on blast. Right. But there is a new – I was thinking of another new restaurant. We like to generally give them a couple months to get the kinks worked out.
Sure.
We don't want to show up when they're still figuring out staffing and things like that. So I'm not sure if it will be this coming month or the following month, but I'm going to do some reconnaissance in the next week or so. And if they're not quite ready this month, I'll have them go the next month or whatever. And I'm very OCD, so I have a list of every place we've been to as far as I can figure. And how often and how frequently we've been to different places and who's due for the next one. So I just go back to that list and, some places have closed and changed and stuff. So I just kind of go through and see where haven't we been in the last couple. It's funny because it used to be when all the new stuff started opening, it would be oh, we haven't been here in 3 years. Now we rotate through probably at least every other year.
Yeah, well, there's
some places we've been to within once each year at this point.
Yeah,
so
at this point we can spread it out so that we're not going to the same places every 4 months.
Right,
and so now we actually have people calling us saying, "Hey, we want to get back on your rotation."
Oh,
we have
so restaurants are calling
us.
You.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
See, now that's when you know you've hit a success level.
And if I'm not mistaken, if you go onto Yelp and search for like best happy hours, we actually pop up, and we're not even a location.
Right. You know? That's fantastic.
We just have good reviews. So
no, that's great.
And that's how some people have found us, actually, like people who are looking for, you know, things in the neighborhood to do or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the funniest thing last night, and there was a couple that came last night to happy hour, and they'd lived in the neighborhood for 14 years. So sometimes you think that there's new people coming, and they're not new. They just didn't know about the happy hour.
Right.
And another place told them, hey, Ward 5 is having their happy hour there tomorrow. Why don't you all stop by?
And what a great way for, you know, when we talk about the concept of neighbors meeting neighbors, what a great way for longtime residents to meet the new folks and vice versa. Because, you know, anytime there's, you know, big changes in a community, there's a lot of fear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, about the newcomers, and how is that going to impact our feel of our community? How is that, you know, is my parking going to get harder? And you know, these young whippersnappers, what are they going to be doing in our community? I think it's a great way for people to get there. And I love, like, I was there at City Winery last night, and I loved sitting there and seeing such a diverse crowd of young couples, folks that have lived in the neighborhood for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, they've raised their family here, and you know, now it's time for them to get out and start enjoying happy hour again.
Exactly.
So it was, I feel like it's just a really good way, you know, if you don't have a problem, you know, being around people drinking alcohol, I think it's a great way to meet your neighbors.
It really is. And we do run the gamut in age from 21 to probably late 70s.
Yeah.
At least.
And I was going to say too, I think that's one hesitancy sometimes when I talk to people who are a little bit, you know, older in the neighborhood, and I'm like, no, like it's not a young, I mean, there are definitely new people that are moving in and stuff, but it's not like a college age crowd or
right,
anything. It's
right.
Homeowners.
It's not like a big frat party.
Yeah. It's homeowners. And I would say we skew on the older side a little bit sometimes, depending on the venue. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was very cute last night. Like at the end of the night, like way past happy hour time, the last table was definitely an over 50 table.
Yeah.
And they were hanging hard. I mean,
they were having a good time.
Yeah, it
that's
was fun.
Great. That's fantastic. I, you know, my wife and I were sitting there. We took a minute just to sit back and listen to all of the, you know, the hum of the conversation. There were so many people laughing and really authentically having a great time. And it was, yeah, it's like that with every one of your events.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And I've met, I mean, outside of you all, people that I'm friends with as well that I probably would not have had the opportunity to interact with because,
sure.
You know, frequently we consider our neighbors just the people that live right around us, right on either side of us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you all don't live right on either side of me, but I can certainly walk to either of you all's house. And
yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about DC and this neighborhood, that Ward 5, we are a community, we are a neighborhood.
And not only that, I would say, one of the primary things is to promote, you know, the actual restaurants and bars in the neighborhood and get people familiar with them. But also, you start to meet other business owners that are in the neighborhood. You know, I would say, you know, my dentist I met at the happy hour. You know, my, I don't know, optician.
Yep.
Yeah.
Your eye doctor.
Yeah, the eye doctor. Yeah, we met her at the happy hour. And I wouldn't have changed to her if I didn't meet her and you know.
And they're ward, and they live
and
work in Ward 5.
And just amazing people,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so, and their businesses are in Ward 5, you know.
And speaking of businesses, not to cut across you, but speaking of businesses, you know, Andy's a realtor. We have lots of realtors in the neighborhood. We have lots of people wanting to move to the neighborhood. You've met clients.
Yep, absolutely.
At the Ward 5 happy hour. So it's a way to connect people with not just their community, but with businesses. Mm-hmm. And to promote your business.
And you know, one of the many things that I love about DC is how accessible our local government is. And, you know, how many times have we had council members show up and we
at large people,
our advisory neighborhood commissioners are usually there. Mm-hmm. So it's a great place not only to meet your neighbors, but but to really interact with your elected officials.
Yes.
And I think sometimes it's the best way to get things done or get things, you know, changes made, you know. I witnessed a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, one of the most recent happy hours, somebody started talking about traffic on Michigan Avenue and how they had changed the lights and how it was becoming very dangerous. And they were talking with the ANC commissioner, and more and more people started chiming in to the point where they are doing a study on that now. Like,
oh,
because it was becoming, they aren't aware of every single thing that's going on every single corner of the ward all the time. And sometimes when you can bring it right to them directly,
sure,
it they can say, oh, you know, talk to this person in my office and we'll see what we can do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually in the works at this point.
Perfect.
Because they changed something with the lights and the buses and stuff. They're coming out of the metro.
So not only do we have fun, there are good, you know, neighborhood things that come out of the
absolutely
events.
It is. Sorry, I'm going to stumble and fumble here on my words here. But, you know, we talk over and over again about how Main Streets in D.C., and D.C. in particular, is everyone, when people outside of the area think about D.C., they just think about the federal government, when it's actually a very rich and robust system of neighborhoods that are, you know, support. The neighborhood people support their neighborhood businesses, and it's like a cluster of little bitty towns inside D.C., right?
We've got a village.
We definitely have a village. And I think these Ward 5 happy hours are, even though they, you know, they rotate around to different businesses, which I love, they are the equivalent of, you know, going down and meeting the regulars at the pub and having solid collaborative neighbor and business relationships with people, just like you would in a small town, with the one hangout.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
And I think you get to build relationships. We keep it so that you're not, like, we don't promote businesses generally at the happy hour. You know, you can't put out flyers. It's about having fun and meeting your neighbors. But you can create real genuine connections with people that way. And it organically kind of,
yeah,
you know, people talk about different things that are opening and things that they've gone to and reviews and things.
And at the end of the day, people want to do business with people they like.
Right.
And so you met your new eye doctor and you liked her. And so now you do business with her.
Right.
She's got my new eyeglasses on right now.
Very sharp.
Well, you can promote your business, but it's not you can't. We take over the happy hour.
Right.
You could certainly promote your business and things like that. But you, we are nonpartisan, so mm-hmm. anyone, any of our elected officials or people trying to become elected officials can come, and they cannot take over the happy hour.
Right.
But they certainly can pass out their literature or talk to people.
They can chat with people just like everybody
else. You can certainly
else.
Network. Definitely, yes. You can network.
Sure.
And you should network.
One of the things that I like about the fact that you rotate this around is, as we talked about earlier, the access to a variety of food types. And I've noticed that almost all the time, they set up a special happy hour menu just for Ward 5, just for the Ward 5 happy hour.
Sometimes they even name drinks after us.
Right. Yeah. Right. Talk about that.
Well, that doesn't happen that often, unfortunately. We do get them to sometimes extend happy hour or create it.
That happens most of the time.
They do extend happy hour because a lot of places end happy hour at 7, and our happy hour goes from 6 to 8. But with that being said, people frequently stay a lot longer than 8. We were there last night until after 9. Some people get there a little early. Yeah, it was a little later last night than...
Depends on the venue.
It depends on the venue and how much fun people are having.
And the weather sometimes.
Right. And then sometimes we've even been known to leave that venue and go to another venue.
Sometimes.
Because we're having too much fun.
Sometimes 10 or 15 people deep.
Right.
Like, we'll just shift over if somebody's craving some kind of particular food.
So one of my favorite venues that you've had this at is over at Union Market.
Yes.
And I know that you kind of have a home base at one of the restaurants, but then there's so many little booths to get food at there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of room to move around, too.
The one challenge there is that they do close right at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Except for the one restaurant. So we have gone there multiple times, but the food venues kind of close down right at 8. So you have to – and the same thing – it was kind of the same situation at Tastemakers as well. Like, you had to get the food on the front end because just the bar stayed open later.
Right. Right.
Yes. So we haven't gone there. I do like Union Market, but we've sort of outgrown Union Market, I think.
They're busy enough on their own at this point that
it's hard for us
to insert ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And we don't pay for spaces. That's the other thing. We don't pay for, you know, we do this on our own time, on our own, the items, you know, the little bit of money we spend, it's on our own dime. So we don't have a budget to rent out a space.
Sure.
And we don't go to some of the restaurants, you know, people will say, oh, well, we've not been at this place or that place. Some of the fancier, like, sit-down restaurants that have an established business that aren't looking for, like, a happy hour core, you know, places I would call, like, the date night restaurants, sometimes we don't go there because we just can't fit. Like, and it's not...
It's a sit-down restaurant, like Red Hen. We have not been to Red Hen.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get to Red Hen even with a reservation.
Right, exactly. Right. So some of those places, and it's not on. It's not
that we're excluding them.
Yeah, we've kind of, you know, there's agreements with certain places that they're like, yeah, we just can't handle this crowd, you know. And there's some places that are a little too little, or if they don't have food, some of the like brewery type places. Unless we can arrange for food trucks or something, we've shied away from those a little bit because then people end up either drinking too much and not having anything in their stomach because it's dinner time,
right.
Or they end up leaving early to go get foods elsewhere.
Yeah.
So
food
is important as well as
drinks. Food is very important, equally as important as
drinks.
We are
very much foodies in this neighborhood.
Absolutely.
And I think we've gotten to the point in Brookland where we have some of the most phenomenal food venues in the city. You don't really have to leave the area.
Yeah.
And some of them are very hidden gems.
There's actually a blog post that somebody – I'm sorry, whoever posted this blog post that I don't remember to be able to give you the shout-out on it. Talking about Brooklyn and 12th Street becoming a food destination. And I think that's true of several places. I mean, Momo Yakitori, every time I go by there, they're busy. And of course, all the restaurants opening up in Ivy City, lines out the door in some of those. And new places keep opening up.
And a lot of new ethnic restaurants in Brookland. And not to forget the old ones, too. Like, you know, Menemale, Escale, Masala Story, like Pho 12.
Yep.
I mean, they're all really excellent restaurants. Some of them are too small for us to have happy hour at.
Right.
But don't forget about them when you have visitors in or you're just planning to go out for dinner.
Right. And there's the neighborhood of Bloomingdale. And Ward 5 is pretty large now.
So. Yeah, and I think some new stuff is going to be going in around South Dakota Riggs.
Right.
So everything on the...
Everything on this side of the Walmart.
On the other side of the street.
Yeah.
Riggs Road is the dividing line.
Dividing line. Now, speaking of dividing line, anyone is welcome at the Ward 5 happy hour. You don't have to live in Ward 5.
You don't have to prove. We don't.
You
don't need identification.
Right. Oh, that is so good. You do not need identification. That's true. You don't. You can even live across the bridge in Maryland or Virginia.
We might give you a hard time for
We'll tease you. For coming to hang out, but no.
Unless you're from Mount Rainier.
Mount Rainier is Ward 9.
But we might try and
that's Ward
get
9.
You to move here, though.
Right.
I know that you don't, you know, don't want to talk specifics about, you know, who's next in the next couple of months, but what are some places that you're excited about, hopefully, visiting in the future?
Well, I'm excited about possibly being able to visit one of the breweries, DC Brow. I'm hoping that we might be able to set something up with them now that they have a new chicken place that opened up right beside
them.
That's
right.
So that may be an option because we couldn't go there before because no food. Right. And it's kind of hard for us with food trucks because we don't know how many people are going to come. Mm-hmm. So we don't want anyone losing any money.
Right. They need a certain number
of
people.
To make it worth their while. But because this chicken place, and I wish I remembered the name of it, it's on Bladensburg, they just opened up. So that might be an option.
So, and a couple that I was thinking of, so there's a new restaurant, and so we try and rotate locations, so we don't try and do, like, Brookland. We go, like, Brookland, Bloomingdale, Ivy City, and we try and rotate around so that everybody feels like it's in their section sometimes. There's a new restaurant, and I don't remember the name of it as well, but it just opened at the corner. It's the very edge of Ward 5 at the corner of Florida, North Capitol, and New York, that horrible intersection by the Wendy's.
Yeah.
It used to be Union Social, which we went to once, but somebody has just opened up a new place there that has, I want to say, like, indoor bowling and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, so that's on my short list. They just opened, so that's the one I'm going to contact in the next couple of weeks.
And that's walkable from the Noma Metro station, right?
Yeah, and you can really easily bike there, too.
Oh, sure, on the Metropolitan Branch train.
Yeah.
And there is a weird little parking lot that you don't see.
There's
and
a parking garage.
Right,
there.
Parking garage. That's what I mean.
Yeah, so it's...
It's accessible, but it doesn't look accessible.
Or you can Uber there.
Or you can Uber, yeah.
And it's a big venue, too. Not as big as Ivy City stuff, but...
Right, but it is pretty big. The chicken place, by the way, thank you, Kyle, is called the Roaming Rooster. And they have a food truck. They used to have or they still probably have a food truck. I understand the chicken is delicious, and now they have a storefront.
Aren't they out of Tastemakers?
Maybe they were.
I think their kitchen maybe.
Or there's another kitchen at Union Station too. There's a couple kitchens right around Union Station too. So
yeah, I'm not sure, but they now have their own storefront.
Great.
In Bladensburg, and so that's Ward 5.
There was another one I was thinking of, and I can't recall now.
We haven't been to Brooklyn's Finest this year, which is a first, and we probably won't make it there. We've kind of outgrown them. They really make an exception to host us when we come because everyone goes there anyway.
Yeah, and they're busy. So.
And they're very busy, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to go there.
There's a new place that's going to be opening up in Ivy City, too. It's, like, right across from the
La Puerta Verde.
Yeah.
We
went there last night, if it's the restaurant. And it's a restaurant.
Reconnaissance.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
It's not. They can't. If it's the same place, because so many places are opening up in Ivy City. And, again, I don't know their name. And these places that are too big for us. Please go out on your own. Go out with a couple of friends or a date night or something.
It looked phenomenal.
Yeah, the food looked great, but they couldn't accommodate us.
It's a sit down.
And there is an axe throwing place coming to Ivy City.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, I would be into that.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, axe throwing and drinking. I just,
what could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
I feel like there was another one that, but I don't know if it was in Ward 5.
It's not.
In Ward 4. It's Cracking Axes.
Yeah, it's like
Brianne,
right at the edge.
So our guest last week, Brianne Dornbush, is the director of the District Bridges, Columbia Heights Main Street, Lower George Avenue Main Street program, and she was talking about Cracking Axes how busy they stay there.
Right.
Well, and I think that, this is going to kind of give you a little insight about, I guess, who I am, but... You know, at the Renaissance Festival, they throw axes all the time and people are drinking, and I never heard of any accidents there.
Okay,
so
if the Renaissance Festival is doing it, it will be safer.
So only happy drunks.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Exactly.
It'll be a good time. And, you know, seriously, I think some what few neighborhood disputes there are out there, they could be settled one way or another.
Oh, gosh.
And one place where we haven't really been, because, again, the food thing is like Big Chief over in Ivy City, and they've got like giant Jenga. Like, there's definitely other like game places where you can go and have fun. We went there after a happy hour one night. But, yeah. You know, those are great locations.
That's one place I have not been in, Big Chief.
And it's
huge.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big dive warehouse. Bar.
It's like a warehouse dive bar. Yeah, it's huge. They have an indoor, outdoor, they have a rooftop.
Yes. So working out at, because I belong to Planet Fitness right there, and so the windows are in Planet Fitness are even with the rooftop of Big Chief. I just sat there fascinated that they've got like an Airstream trailer on the roof.
Yeah. Where they serve drinks out of or something. Yeah, that's
great.
Now, we haven't been to Momo Yakitori. Once they get their hours streamlined or not streamlined, more open than.
Well, yeah, they're not open on Thursdays right now.
I don't think they're open on Thursdays right now. They're just Monday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And Monday.
And Monday as well. Okay. Yeah. So. Or maybe we'll get them to open up for a Thursday if we can.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I think
maybe if they're listening to this, Momo Yakitori, open for us. Yes. So we are the first Thursday of every month, and we have an email group, and you can find us on Facebook, Ward 5 Community Happy Hour.
Number 5.
Yes.
Yep.
And we pop right up. And if you like the page, then you'll see the event. You'll see when it gets announced, usually about 2 weeks before. But put it on your calendar for a rotating appointment.
First Thursday.
And then you can just fill in the location, you know, when it gets announced.
You just make it sound so easy and logical.
It's so easy.
It's not that hard.
And it's a good time.
And it's a great time. And you meet your neighbors and you make friends and find new doctors and lawyers and realtors. And
careers.
And careers, yes. In my case. And Kyle got a career.
And your village. You create your village, you know.
Absolutely.
If I need people to, like, come and house it, you know, my dog or you know.
Or kids, give you a recommendation.
Yeah, recommendations for anything.
For anything, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to go too deeply into this topic, but one of the great things about technology is that you can connect in a lot of ways, and it's so easy to, particularly with social media or email listservs, things like that, to, you know, get locked in behind your keyboard, and sometimes people get a little overly brave and they say things online to their neighbors that they may not be willing to say to their faces,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not always a pleasant time,
mm-hmm.
but I think actually getting out to these things and meeting your neighbors and putting faces to names and realizing that there's a lot going on in everybody's lives and everybody's a human being with feelings. I think it's really, really improved all of the communication among neighbors around some pretty challenging topics.
I've said since the beginning, since I moved to the area, 15, 16 years ago, that the most business, that the actual actions that get done happen more often in the restaurants and bars than anywhere else.
Yep.
And our slogan that's now on our t-shirts says, bringing the community together one drink at a time. And one of us came up with it, or we formed it or whatever, and it's totally true. Like, it's just a way to bring everybody together. And it is one of the most diverse happy hours you'd ever go to. I mean, we love everybody, and we just love all of our neighbors. It's really a village. I really feel very, very strongly about living in this community.
Yeah. Speaking of the t-shirts, you just rolled those out last night, new Ward 5 Community Happy Hour t-shirts.
Yes, we did.
Can people order those online?
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, sorry. We're gonna work on it.
So these have been like a year in the making. We have two very strong personalities here, and and we've gone back and forth, and we wanted, if we were going to do t-shirts, we wanted to be t-shirts that were going to get worn and not just thrown in the back of the closet. So they are very good quality. They're
comfortable. We have girl t-shirts.
They're cute.
We have boy t-shirts. I mean, anybody can wear, but we have t-shirts with a scoop neck or a crew neck.
Yeah.
You know.
And We're just charging $5. They're higher quality T-shirts than that, but we wanted
And that is sponsored by Andy Fleming Realty.
It is. I wanted to make sure that I didn't want to give them away for free because I didn't want people to just like take hundreds of them or anything. But we will be putting in another order because we are out of already some of the key sizes.
Yep.
So what we probably will do is set up something at some point.
Order a minimum, so we'll have to get people to figure out how many people.
Yeah, when I get to the point where I know about half of once we get close to the minimum, or not even when we get to half of what the minimum is, I'll just order those sizes that we're running out of. So
yeah, that makes sense.
And we did that. We didn't do it with a local Brookland area T-shirt place, but we did do it out of Tacoma Park. And
we tried to do it.
We tried
in
to
the
do
neighborhood.
It local.
And,
yeah,
and
we had a hard time.
And that actually was the biggest delay of all. Yeah. Of all. And I just want to say, we were going to do these T-shirts anyway, and I appreciate that Andy funded it. I know there's a little bit of acknowledgement for her company, and there should be. We were going to do these T-shirts anyway, but then the cost to get nice T-shirts would have been $25. No one would have bought these T-shirts for $25.
Right.
But
or they may have,
and maybe they would have. They are pretty nice.
They're pretty
T-shirts.
Cute.
They are cute.
Yeah.
So
I don't normally buy T-shirts.
Did you get one?
I got one last night.
Oh, cool. Yep. Yep. All right, we're going to be twinsies. Everyone's going to be twinsies at the next happy
hour. I almost wore it today, but I got other appointments that I got to go to. Probably don't.
They don't need to know that we're bringing the community together one drink at a time.
Right, or that I'm, having beer steins on the front of my shirt.
Yes.
But it's perfect to wear at a happy hour.
It is. It's a great T-shirt. You guys continue to do an amazing job with this.
So you have to come to the actual happy hour to get the T-shirts right now.
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So come on out and get a T-shirt.
Yep. And then
wear it to Fall Fest and like tell people about
where Five Happy Hour. There we go. There we go.
If you don't have a Fall Fest T-shirt on.
Walking
already.
Billboard.
That's right. That's right.
Remind listeners again where they can find out information about this.
We're on Facebook at Ward 5, the number 5 Community Happy Hour. We are on Twitter, though we don't really.
I wouldn't say
we're not on Twitter.
We have a Twitter page.
We have a Twitter page, but
I don't
you
know.
Can't find us that way.
I don't know if either one of us is checking it.
All right, we're going to talk about that.
I know. If you're not on, I know.
And Instagram. You need to be on Instagram, too.
I can set up a thing that'll blast all our Facebook things to it.
To Instagram.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then, but we're not.
We'll talk.
Ward 5 Community Happy Hour.
We're old school.
Yeah. And what's our email address? Ward 5 Community Happy Hour at gmail.com. There you go.
And the number 5 again.
That's right. First Thursday of every month.
Yeah, we're old school.
Yep.
Keeping it old school.
Keeping it simple.
Keeping it simple.
Email, Facebook. And we won't inundate you with any kind of other email or anything. You get 2 emails a month, one announcing the venue and then a reminder just a couple days before.
Yep.
Makes sense. All right.
All right.
Well, I'm glad that we could finally talk about this, Michelle. We have you. Obviously, you're a part of the show every week and we allude to the Ward 5 Happy Hour.
Yes.
But I'm glad we could actually sit down and talk. And Andy, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, let's take a minute to check in with Casey from Good Food Markets. Good morning, Casey.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
We're doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
You guys surviving
in
this
rain?
Making
it through the summer.
Okay. How about surviving the rain and the produce surviving all the rain?
It has been horrible.
Yeah.
It's been horrible. Everything, the produce that we're getting from our farmers is crazy swollen with water. But you can imagine what it's maybe done to sales. Folks are not as eager to come out for the rain, but eventually they always do. Getting some nice comfort food, lots of ice cream, Kyle, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I was in there yesterday, and I was assured that peach pie is coming in.
Oh, yeah. Dave would never let us down from the peach pie.
All right, good. So I'll be there today.
Yeah, he came through last night, dropped off our pies for the weekend. But you might have noticed at the very front of the store, we have redone that display. Super exciting for all of us. You know, when we first opened over 3.5 years ago, we really didn't know how this might take shape. Some of the equipment that we had was certainly stuff that we could move around if we needed to. We didn't want to invest too heavily at the beginning, but we think we have our setup, and we got a beautiful new display case for prepared food and coffee station.
Yay.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Come check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the setup, and it looks fantastic.
It is beautiful work. And hopefully it will allow us to get some more pastry and some goodies on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Folks have always raved about our soup. We'd like to bring that back, you know, before the weather turns cold. Usually that's something that is quite a bit of work for us to get up and running just because we're so limited on space. But with this new case, we might be able to have soup up year-round.
Oh, nice.
There now is a dedicated space for that. And we might even be able to get another pot of coffee up. That'd be great.
Ooh.
I personally want to.
Kyle is so excited.
Pot.
Ooh, ah.
I can't wait to get back down there.
Yeah. So we're going to have new cases for the brownies and the muffins. Everybody's favorite on the weekends. Those muffins are so good.
Stop. Just stop. You're killing me.
Really
here.
Just cake without icing, let's be honest.
Guess who did not have breakfast this morning?
Neither one of us.
Yeah. All right. Continue on. Sorry.
Guys. But yeah, so that's what's new with us. We had talked about the last time that I was chatting with y'all, we did want to go over maybe some ways that we could all cut down on our waste in our homes.
Okay.
So with the rain being crazy as it is, and a lot of people's gardens, I think, are totally overwhelmed. I know that especially when I walk around in the neighborhood, I see a lot of people who do herbs, maybe nothing else, but definitely are growing culinary herbs. And one of the things that I know happens for sure in my house is that, you know, we get all excited about spa water. We're making our spa water with our mint, maybe even some basil. And my husband will often put the mint in the fridge, sometimes into the crisping bins.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll totally forget about them, of course, right?
Of course,
and then we come back, find them. They're totally moldy, completely black, rotten through, which, you know, if you're growing mint in your garden, you've got a ton of it. But it is sad to see it go like that.
It is.
So I wanted to go over a quick little, you know, how-to with herbs. So the best way to always store your herbs is out on your countertop in a glass of water.
Like a bouquet of flowers.
Like flowers. Yep. Exactly. They want the airflow. They want fresh water. They still got their stems, so there's living stuff in there that wants to still feed off of something. So leaving that on your counter, they smell amazing. They look beautiful, and you'll keep them for longer.
Yeah. Is that for all herbs?
Yeah, for most herbs. I would say that maybe the only exception being the dill doesn't really like to be in water on the countertop. That stuff will do well if you put it into a little produce plastic bag. That can go in your crisper, but you do want to get that stuff as quickly as possible.
Sure.
For dill, if you wrap it up and leave it in the fridge, it could go moldy on you. And if you leave it on the counter, it might not necessarily stay alive in the water because those stems are so fragile. But with dill, you can leave that out on the countertop as long as you're putting it on a piece of parchment paper and you're flipping it probably, you know, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, you can dry your dill out and then save it in a jar to use with salad dressings or in some of your cooking.
Oh.
But dill dries really well if it has proper airflow.
That's a good idea.
So Casey, as far as mint and maybe basil, how long would it last on the counter? In some water.
So on the counter, you know, if you're trimming those stems, so what happens with a lot of flowers and herbs is that, you know, folks will put it in water and you're busy and you're going to forget about it. But the same thing with flowers, if the way to keep them alive longest is to always trim their ends, you know, like maybe once a day, maybe every other day, so that those frayed ends that now have dying cells are scrapped and you can make a fresh cut with fresh cells that can slurp up that water. So if you're changing the water every day and you're cutting the stems every day or every other day, then you can have that stuff out for honestly a week.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And Casey, I know, you know, for longer term storage, I've seen, you know how on Pinterest and all those cooking places, that I see people like chopping up herbs and putting them in ice cube trays with water or olive oil.
Now, I've tried that with ice cube trays with mint, and it hasn't worked out well. The mint didn't taste the same for me at all, but maybe I will
try
olive
oil. The mint's hard because it is so tender. Once you freeze it, if you're not using it pretty quickly, I wouldn't say that you could freeze mint in a tray.
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
In January, but basil will, or oil will always hold the flavor better than water will. So when you're doing basil in an ice cube tray, using olive oil with that, if you chop it up real nice before you put it into the tray, it'll infuse with that oil and it'll hold on tight so that when, you know, you want to go use it in January, February, it'll still have a lot of that flavor there.
Yeah, yeah.
I do recommend that folks use old, crusty ice cube trays.
Yeah.
The ones that you have in rotation.
That's a good idea. Sure. Otherwise, everyone will think you have dirty ice cubes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a good party trick. No. Not great for entertaining.
No.
But, and you can always take them out of the tray, put them into a Ziploc baggie, and then keep cycling that through. You don't need to get, like, you know, 10 different ice cube trays.
Right, right. We do something at our house. We do something similar with like making our own chicken broth. And anytime we cook something with bones in it, we make our own broth out of it and freeze it in little 1 cup containers and then pop them out and store them all in like the, you know, big gallon or 2 gallon freezer bags. And then we could just pull it out a cup at a time. And I could see doing the exact same thing with oiled herbs.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So you have your nice single serving instead of throwing it into, you know, a giant quart container, and now you've got a quart. And you're like, well, I only wanted to cook some greens. Quart of broth.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Casey, please remind folks where they can find some herbs to do this with.
Totally. Come see Good Food Markets, rain or shine. We're open 7 days a week. We are at 20th in Rhode Island. You can find us online at goodfoodmarkets.com. We are on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right. Well, I'll see you shortly for some dish pie.
We'll see you soon, Kyle. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, bye. Casey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's going to wrap up another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks. See ya.